School Days in Davenport over 60 years ago, today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. You've heard about having to walk to school in the old days. Well, Scott Fisher writes about it on Scribble. A mile and how many tenths?
A mile and five tenths.
And just back. As in my situation, it was uphill both ways, right?
About right.
My school was next door.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was one house in between, so I had to walk several extra steps.
Wow.
But my backyard opened into the schoolyard. And the school was just to the left. Yeah, really tough. I've suffered, you know. But Scott, what prompted you to go down memory lane like this?
For only 6 years. I mean, I've never seen a memoir that covers 6 years of grade school.
And I can't imagine how, I can't remember anything or very little of those years in my life. Was I not paying attention, or did you take notes?
I don't know. It was, as I was retiring from teaching, I was thinking about all the teachers that I'd had in the past, professors, and who'd influenced me, and I just kept coming back to elementary school. And I just have very clear memories of those teachers and the kids and the building, and so I just sat down and just started writing it out.
My. And Mrs. Knight apparently is the one. You say you're careful not to use her techniques, but apparently she made a heck of an impression on
you. She certainly did. Anybody out there that's listening that had Mrs. Knight will know exactly what I'm talking about. She would lay down a memory to anybody who crossed her path.
Well, and you got straight A's.
Right.
Yeah, which was amazing to me. Just incredible.
I thought I did too till I found my report cards from grade school, and it was not straight A's.
You know, my kids digging around the attic found my grade school report card, and they thought, "Oh boy, now we're going to put one over on Dad." And they were appalled to see that I got straight A's all the way through. It just ruined their day. But how can you reconstruct that carefully?
I don't know. It was very clear memory, and I did write down notes along the way. As my last 5 or 6 years of teaching, I started jotting down notes and thinking about it, and it was just so very clear.
Did you remember some of it as you started to write?
Yes. As I started to write, more memories came through.
Because as I read your book, I said, how in the world can this guy remember odd little details like this? But my own grade school came back to me as I was reading this, mm-hmm. and because a lot of it was just what you experienced.
Yeah, I can't do that. I really can't.
What amazed me about the book is the way in which, and I don't know, was this deliberate or just something you felt, that it seems to me the difficulty is that you really grow up and mature and come to see the world differently between kindergarten and sixth grade.
Oh, thank you so much. I tried
so
real hard.
So is the language, and the narrator is always the kindergartner or the first grader.
Right.
So how deliberately Were you aware that kindergartners use this language?
Yes, and I tried real hard to grow as a narrator as the stories progressed from kindergarten through sixth grade. And that was a conscious attempt on my part, not just the language, but the thought process too.
Right.
Very simple.
And the maturity and the socialization. Yeah. And
well, thank you. I tried real hard to do that. I wasn't sure if it came across.
Well, it
clearly
did. I wondered when I started the book, you know, this is simple kindergartner speaking. How is he going to change, right? And you really do, I think, a fairly good job of it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
Partly because I you know, experienced the same thing. But that to me was the most amazing part of the book, is the way you were able to grow the style. And,
well, thank you.
And grow the information.
Like I said, that was a goal that I tried to do, and it went through multiple rewrites, just lots of them. And I left out a lot of things too, because it's a monster book already. And
it is a big book.
It's a big book.
I mean, all that from kindergarten to sixth grade.
Yeah, right. And I had pictures, which helped too.
That's another question. Where did you get all these pictures?
Most of them were from our family album.
The inside of the school and things?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And I did go back at one point years ago when it was still a school and took some pictures inside. And it's interesting, since the book has come out, the folks from the Living Church there invited me to come for a current tour.
Oh, okay.
And it was real interesting walking through to see how they've done such a great job maintaining that school atmosphere, but each room has its own use. But the blackboards are still there, and so it was interesting that they've done such a great job over there.
My old school is a vacant lot. You know, that's happened a lot to me. My old school is a vacant lot. The church I was married in is a police station. That's a vacant lot. The school where my kids went to school is a prison. And the kids thought that was appropriate. And the hotel where we had our reception is a parking lot. I expect when I go, my house will be bulldozed.
So, how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, I was teaching when I started it, and I would
What were you teaching? Let's start
at Rock Valley College, I taught English and literature, and I also taught aviation maintenance technology.
Okay.
So now, there's a great combination.
Yeah, there's kind of an interesting combination. That's a very long story. But I would only teach during the school year, and I used summers to recharge. And that's when I would do most of my writing, was during the summer.
I did notice a few model airplanes in the text.
Yeah, which was influenced by, again, people at Grant School. It started me with a lot of things that continued through my life. And
I see you did other books, though, including couple of photo books, Eastern Iowa's Aviation Heritage, mm-hmm. and then the Iowa State Patrol. Mm-hmm. And those two things seem to, how did they come together?
Well, those were, actually, I started, my first book was about the Ironman 1939 Niall Kinnick team, mm-hmm. for their 50th anniversary team. And I did that, and then I was contacted by the Iowa State Patrol, say, could you do a book for our 60th anniversary? So I did a book for them, and then from that book, I was contacted by Arcadia to turn that into one of the photo books from the photographs that I had had.
Uh-huh.
So it was one thing kind of led to another. This is actually the first book, this current book, is the first one I've actually written that wasn't asked. I did this on my own because mm-hmm. no one actually asked me to write this one. I just felt I wanted to.
Well, I mean, having made that kind of a start, are you continuing? Are we here grade 7?
No, this will be this. I don't have the same feelings about junior high and high school that I did about elementary school.
Well, explain that a little more. What?
It's hard to explain. It was just I spent 7 years in one building with all those same kids. All those kids came and went, but same kids. And in 7 years, you build up kind of a bonding with a building and its faculty. And junior high is only 3 years, and high school is only 3 years. So there isn't that same feeling. Plus, when I was in high school, both my parents were teachers in the building. So I can't look back on that as quite the same experiences.
Right.
So, Not that it was that bad, but...
No, my parents were both teachers, too, and I know the feeling of having parents in the same...
Yeah, I don't think I would ever write about that. So.
Well...
So this will be it as far as writing about my education.
But does that is not an end to your writing, surely?
No, no, I've got several projects. I'm currently working on a book. My wife and I purchased an old railroad hotel some years ago down in southern Iowa and restored it and turned it into a bed and breakfast. And so that's my current project, is kind of reviewing those years as being innkeeper. My wife was the innkeeper, and she was excellent. I was the maintenance man. I just kept the boiler going and the lawn mowed, and she was the innkeeper, though. So we're going
to finish that. I have to ask, aviation maintenance, all right, explain that curve in your career.
Well, I actually started when I graduated from college. I was a vocational automotive an aviation instructor. Started in high school, and then I moved to an Ann Arbor, Michigan college. Taught that for a long time. And being in the Detroit area, the automotive industry tapped me to write manuals in the summertime. There's an old joke of my engineer friends remind me that if you want to make an engineer cry, make him write a complete sentence. So right. They hired me to take their engineering drawings and turn them into manuals that the technicians could use. So that's how the writing kind of started in with that. I got pretty good at technical writing, and I went back and got my master's in English. And then I went to Rock Valley College from there to teach technical writing. And it kind of grew from there. So that's in a nutshell, that's how that kind of morphed.
Isn't it odd the turns your life will take?
It really is, yeah.
But you've turned back to people like Jordy and Dammit and the rest of them.
Yeah, yeah. And that was an interesting project because there were so many kids that I couldn't put everybody in there. And some of them... I talked to a few, didn't want to be named, so I made composites. So they are pseudonyms and composite kids.
But the teachers are real.
The teachers' names and they are real. It's a little Valentine to the teachers. Because back then, Davenport was the premier school district in the state. My parents were both from Cedar Falls, and I asked them, why did you come to Davenport to teach? And they said, at the time in the 50s, that if you got into the Davenport school system, you were part of the best school district in the state. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was when Iowa was one of the top states for education.
Well, and Grant School was the premier grade school, too,
Oh, of course, I think. Just because I was there.
So. No, but I mean, I've talked to other people
oh, really? Okay.
about
I didn't,
this book, and they said, Grant School, wow.
It was a fantastic faculty, as actually all the faculty I had in Davenport was good.
It is amazing. You know, I talked to a fellow, I think I may have said this before, but he was asked by his college to interview students who applied for admission to a college out east that he had attended. And he said the kids that he recommended were either from Davenport Central or Rock Island High School. He says those were the two.
Being a Davenport West graduate, I might take exception to that, but I understand what you're saying.
This was back a few years.
Okay.
What amazed me, another thing about the book, is how like my own grade school education yours was and how different both of ours are from my grandchildren.
Right.
And even my children. Mm-hmm. The world is so different.
Yeah, it really
these days. You know, computers have changed things, but and so has all the planned soccer and the planned lacrosse and the planned.
Right.
You know, I'm ahead of you by a generation. I went to grade school in the late 30s to about 1944, but almost everything you did, except for baseball cards, that was never big in my thing, but the way we thought, the way we did things, the way we spent our summers, we could have gone to the same school in the same years.
Wow, that's interesting,
And that was a period of 40 or 50 years. And today, I don't think my grandchildren would recognize this as a school.
And that's another reason you ask why I wrote the book. That was the other reason is I really like history, and to me, this is a part of history that I wanted to preserve.
Then, and
kids
really,
down the line want to know, what was it like when you went to school? And so this is hopefully preserving that.
But it is incredibly different from, and that switch took place in a generation almost.
You know, everything is switching from generation to generation. You get dizzy trying to keep up with what's going on in the world.
Right.
Public attitudes seem to change like flipping a switch. It is just amazing. But, you know, I looked at this and I thought, 500 pages? You've got to be kidding me.
It's a monster.
But then it's large print.
Yes, it is, because I figured people of my generation are going to need my audience is going to need large print.
So. And it's in a large format paperback, and it's well-bound. And I must say, you have a nice bookend for this. The little note that you got, and then discovering who it was.
It starts with a mystery.
It starts with a mystery and ends with a solution to the mystery.
Yes.
What is Millicent's last name?
I am not supposed to tell her name. Sorry.
That's another thing. During my 6 years of grade school, here and there a student sort of was no longer there,
right?
Like Millie was, and I eventually understood that they had died or something, or not just moved away, but it was never talked about.
Right.
You know, or there were rumors on the playground.
Ooh,
you know, and so I thought that was brilliant. And the other thing that is absent in your book and absent in my own experience is, where are all the behavior disorder kids?
Right.
They weren't there. Well, there are a few here.
There are a few that
are a little trouble.
Right.
But were there none?
No, because there were certain school buildings in the district where those kids went.
Well, in my school, there wasn't. I mean, we were a town of 1,700. But I do not remember any students so disruptive that the class couldn't continue.
Yeah, and being a teacher of 32 years, I've noticed classroom disruption has become a little more of a problem than it used to be, even at the college level.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, again, Don, you're talking about how society has changed, and that's part of it, too.
Mainstreaming kids with special needs is great for the kids. For the complete organization, sometimes it's a little troublesome.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, we change our attitudes. It's better than having kids like that shut away, but it presents its own problems.
Right. And these teachers had no – they were all one-person show in the classroom. I don't remember any student teachers at that level. No teacher aides, no parent volunteers.
No,
They did it all,
and
including being the school nurse when they had to be, to when we get cuts and things. So, it's like I said, it's kind of a Valentine to the staff of Grant School.
Well, it was fun to come across things that I hadn't thought about for years, this isn't a big part of your book, but you caused me to remember the top 50 stapler by Swingline, which I remember was red. And so my wife just went through all our, where we keep the junk drawer, and we still have two top 50 staplers, one of which is bright blue. I thought they were. So it was just fun to go through this book and the marbles and the keepers, right? You know, and the way the older kids would trick. I bring my bag of marbles, and pretty soon I didn't know we were. You can't keep that, you know. Well, I mean,
playing for keeps.
Yeah, play for
keeps. That's where it came
up. All this way through. The one thing that I thought might be here is that one of the interesting things about education in the Quad Cities is that during the 50s, the Rock Island Lions took kids on a field trip into Chicago for a day.
Oh.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
And I know there were kids from Rock Island School, I mean from Davenport Schools, that because I've talked to them, who are your age, who went in on these trips, and they would go I've talked to chaperones who said by the end of the day, you were so worn out because you went to the Field Museum, you went to the Museum of Science and Industry, you went to the Lincoln Park Zoo and saw Bushmen, and then they had things to eat and everything. But every last minute, boys had to wear little white shirts and girls had to wear dresses and stuff. But you don't remember any
of it. No. Of course, maybe they kept it from me.
Well, maybe you were
maybe I wasn't good enough to go.
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to find people who remember those field trips.
Yeah, don't
let... It was free. The Rock Online just did this.
Oh, it was free, too?
Yep.
Oh, my
gosh. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, don't let that Fisher kid on this trip.
Yeah,
The other thing trouble. I didn't see here was, didn't you guys ever play practical jokes on the teachers?
We probably did. I don't remember doing that because the teachers were pretty, you didn't mess with them.
I know, but a practical joke isn't
messing. Yeah, we probably did. I just don't have any clear memory
because
of
I remember the stuff that really interested me, I guess.
I would bet that didn't happen.
Well,
the teachers.
It didn't happen with Mrs. Knight, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And the other thing, I mean, I've got a whole list of memories here. I should sit down but I would just be a
write
copy of your
own book, tweet.
But I think big in our lives were things like candy cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. We got those at the store, sure.
Okay, it's not in your book. Oh. But also, did you ever smoke corn silk?
No, I heard of people doing that. That was something
the
big kids did that.
That was a rite of passage.
Oh.
And another
sounds awful.
I hate to say this, but another rite of passage was egging somebody on to pee on an electric fence.
Yes.
You want to know the feeling of vulnerable. That's hurt from the inside out, and you only do it once.
Actually, my wife tells that story about getting her brother to do that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. But you never had to do that.
No, I don't recall doing that or having it done to me.
You led such a sheltered life, Scott.
We were already in fear of those urinals that were 8 feet high and were going to suck us right
down. I remember those, too.
So,
And there's a picture in the book.
Yep, I did get a picture of
those.
And that was interesting. At one point, you spell urinals Y-E-R-N-A-L-S.
That's what we thought they were, urinals.
And
and the tenths of a mile were T-E-N-T-S.
Because that's what we thought, tenths.
Okay. So many tenths.
Yep.
Did you ever wonder why you never saw them?
Well, some things you just took at face value. So, especially.
The other thing I think kids no longer do is kites.
I haven't seen kites in a long time.
They're not even in stores much anymore.
Yeah, I haven't seen those.
I haven't seen a kid fly a kite for probably 10 years.
That is odd. That is odd because I used to fly kites.
Oh, we flew kites all the time.
And even when I had my own children, we would fly kites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. There was a time when the sky was filled with those things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We go up to the reservoir and fly kites. There'd be kites all over, but I don't see them now.
No. No, that's...
And March was the time,
Right, where the wind is just right.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the things you have to accept in life is that it changes.
Right.
As you change, society changes.
Right.
And one of the problems we old people have is we think, well, now, wait a minute. You got rid of something really good here. Why don't we hang on to that?
Mm-hmm.
And unless it comes back as a retro fad, no, it's gone.
Yeah. I see lots of hula hoops around today, which were new back
that
in the
50s.
So, we
did not have hula hoops.
No. I never thought those things would come back.
Yeah. They see them everywhere now.
But why not kites instead of hula
hoops? I don't see as many kids actually out playing in the parks.
No, I don't.
We have beautiful parks
here.
One thing about coming back to Davenport after being gone for so long is the parks are just wonderful here. But the small playgrounds, I don't see very many kids out on a summer day.
They might be sitting on a bench with their phones.
When we first started rehearsing our first Greek play in Lincoln Park, it was in the summer of 57. And I remember the players were a little reluctant because we were going to act in that circle of columns. And all around us were people. There were park benches with people having picnics and so on. The park was dotted with those. And now you go up and no one is there.
Right, yeah.
They may show up in two shelters for parties and so on, but apart from that, the park's deserted.
Yeah, we would start playing baseball, you know, early in the morning, and kids would come and go, and we'd play until it got too dark. And there was always somebody at the park playing. And
Well, here we go, lapsing into nostalgia.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want people to think that this book is like a longing to go back to those times, because in so many ways it's better now for kids. So mm-hmm. I don't want to say, well, we need to go back to that. But
I think making your own play is better than having it all canned for you. I mean, it drives parents crazy. You're always driving your kid to this practice and that practice and this, you know, and making up your own games and making up your own, you know, instant ball game and stuff. There's a loss there, too.
I think there is.
Yeah, I remember Forrest Cook, who was program director at WHBF. He was like a second father to me in many ways. He was talking about when he was a kid back at the turn of the century, and he said we would just kind of shuffle around all day looking for something to do. And anybody who could come up with an idea, pick up a stick and decide it was a horse or something, that made our day, and we played that game all day long. And I was struck by that. I thought, that's the idea. Let the kids go out and play and use their imagination, because mm-hmm. their imagination is going to be needed as time goes on.
That's true, yeah.
But back when we walked to school, have you had much of a response to this?
Surprising, yeah. It's surprising people will respond. I've heard from people who were in my kindergarten class that I'd lost track of who live in Minneapolis and around here, just saying how much they like it, and which I really appreciate. And they'll give me things that I hadn't remembered, that they remember that I'd forgotten. So, yeah, it's been a really pleasurable experience.
Now, that's something I wondered about. You know, you stirred your own memory, but did you call on people and use some of their memories to reinforce yours?
No. I would call a couple of people that really weren't in my grade, but they grew up about the same time, and just ask them, do you remember whether the Capitol Theater was on, you know, where it was, things like that. But no, by and large, it's all just for me.
What was your best grade?
My best grade?
Yeah. Which grade did you like best?
You know, when I started teaching, I would think back on the teachers I draw from what I used them as models. And third grade with Miss Boyack is the one I drew on the most.
Because of the teacher rather than the material.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And just the way she handled the class and treated us like adults. And, you know, so I think that was probably my favorite grade, best grade maybe.
That's interesting that you remember the teacher so clearly. I don't remember. I remember a few teachers, but not many. Mm-hmm. And I'm impressed with your memory.
Oh, thank you. Well, my hope, too, is people read the book and maybe they remember things differently. Great. My hope is that they will share their stories with their kids and grandkids.
Well, you got me going. where can a person get a copy of this book?
Of course, you can get it on Amazon if you're lazy like me. But the book rack out on Elmore Avenue has it. And at the J.B. Young Opportunity Center is the Davenport School Library. Excuse me, Davenport School Museum.
Okay.
And we have copies there.
Oh, okay.
Anyone who buys a copy there, all that goes to the museum. Okay. The proceeds from the book. And I'm there sometimes, so if somebody wants a signed copy, I can do that, which devalues the book because you've written in it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, <right. laughs> When Bill Hannon and I put out a collection of my columns and another thing, someone later on told me, I bought a copy of your book for $5 at a yard sale. And I said, well, you know, that must have been one that was signed. The unsigned ones are a whole lot cheaper. Well, I appreciate your taking the time to fill us in on your book. And I must say, it must have been a real treat to go back.
It was. And I appreciate visiting with you guys today. And I hope people enjoy it. It's just for fun. There's no message, really. It's just for fun and for reminiscing.
Scott M. Fisher, Back When We Walked to School, that being Grant School. That'll do it for now. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Don Boot with Roll Tweet. We'll see you next week on the next edition of Scribble.